All right, into hour number two. I know for some of you it's hour number one. Either way, good to have you here. What's cracking? Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Jungle. I am Jim Rome. Wednesday is always a very big day. Let me reset you very quickly. We had an open phone first hour. We are going to have an open phone second hour. And then hour number three gets a little more hectic in a good way. Denver Nuggets guard Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, top of the hour. My namesake, Rome Odunze. Great wide receiver from the Huskies. And one of the draft picks that will be at the draft joins me at 11:20. I've got an ATP coming up in hour number three. I've got the Jim Rome podcast, which I dutifully do every bleeping week. We are up to episode number 311. Do the math. Years. Years of long-form, premium, free content. And you're going to get more of that today with Big Wit, Andrew Whitworth. Extremely interesting person. That's a great podcast. How do I know? I already did it. So that's coming up after the program today. 1-800-636-8686. I want to pick up on a topic that I ended last hour with. It became a topic last hour because somebody responded or mentioned it, but I want to lay it out completely. And I want to lay it out by saying, it's about damn time. Let me say that again. It's about bleeping damn time. Today's a good day, Trojan honks. Trojan honks wherever you are. Mostly Orange County. Mostly Balboa Island. Mostly Newport Coast. Mostly Corona Del Mar. Mostly the OC. But Trojan honks wherever you are. Today is a good day. And it's a good day because a former USC star running back is getting his Heisman Trophy back. And in case you missed the end of last hour, no, it's not the juice. No, it's not the juice's family. Now that Orenthal is no longer waking ever again. Nope. No Juicemas celebration for y'all again today. Even if I did allow a Merry Juicemas celebration once, and understandably so, but once and never again. No, the former USC star running back who's getting his Heisman back is none other than Reggie Bush. Today is the day the Heisman Trophy Trust has finally decided to get their heads out of their collective asses and return Bush's 2005 trophy to its rightful owner and winner, Bush himself. About time. According to Pete Thamel, the dude who the Heisman Trust stripped of the bronze back in 2010 will announce today the formal, quote, reinstatement of the hardware to Reggie amid what it calls, quote, enormous changes in the college football landscape. You know, the enormous changes of players being paid right now through their name, image, and likeness. Kind of like Reg and his fam back in the day. But again, about bleeping time, you gave it back. And by the way, no credit in doing so. It was long overdue. For real.
For real.
Seems to me if there's one thing we can all universally agree on in the sports world, and normally I would say there is no one thing, but if there is one thing, it's that Reggie Bush should still have his Heisman Trophy. As I mentioned earlier, first off, vacating anything to me is just dumb as hell. Like what? You're going to undo that season? You're going to undo that championship? Like these things didn't happen? I think that's pretty lame. Are we going to ask Michigan to vacate the Natty that they just won? Is Harbaugh going to vacate that ridiculous 15-0 tattoo that he just got? Also,
kind of ridiculous.
There's not one person anywhere that believes that Reg was the only one getting benefits in 05. Not the only one on that team. Not the only one anywhere. Come on. Not only that, the benefit, a guy whose biggest benefit was getting a potential agent to put his family up in a nicer home. That was it? That was like the death penalty for his personal Heisman? I'm glad he got it back. I'm glad he got it back because I think he actually put in more time in trying to get it back than he did in actually winning it on the field. And he had a lot of support, too. A lot of support. A lot of support from the Heisman family, the Heisman fraternity, the guys that won the award. I mean, never mind pretty much every fan everywhere having his back. But former Heisman winners, too. Tim Brown has spoken up. Of course, Reggie's former teammate, Matt Leinart, has spoken up. Even idiot face, Johnny Manziel, who was able to keep his trophy despite doing idiot face things, has had Reggie's back and was actually like threatening to boycott. He wasn't going to return to the downtown athletic club until Reg got his hardware. I mean, seriously, did you see Johnny Manziel's doc on Netflix? To think that he had his Heisman still, but Bush didn't. I mean, that's some laugh out loud bleep right there. I mean, Manziel admitted to taking all sorts of money. Probably way more than Bush ever got.
Laugh out loud.
And Bush was way more of a player than Manziel ever was. But Manziel can keep his, and Bush couldn't? Double standard much? And don't get it twisted, Johnny. Listen, I'm not saying that you shouldn't keep yours. You should. I'm just saying that Reggie should have never lost his. Guy was by far the best football player in 05. Hell, one of the best college football players ever that season. Believe me, long before anybody was saying he was him, he was him. And there isn't one thing that we can all agree on, but if there is, it's that he should have never been singled out the way he was. Unfairly, historically. So give the man his trophy. It should have been returned a long time ago. It should have never been ripped in the first place. And get this, Trojan Honks, here's another win for you. Your school can now say scoreboard on Heisman Trophy winners. That's right. With Reg getting his back, you now have 8. One more than the Ohio State. One more than Oklahoma. One more than Notre Dame. Scoreboard, Trojan Honk. Get those flags back out. Go ahead, celebrate. Just whatever you do, JXP. Don't make this about Oj. Don't try to use this as an opportunity to bring back Juice Miss. Don't say that we need to get his back so it can be buried alongside of him and we need to celebrate Juice Miss yet again. He sold his. They didn't even take his. He sold his. And then try to get it back. I already played that audio last hour. Or memorabilia. Reg moved his parents into a nicer house. Juice removed 2 human beings permanently from their houses.
Hypothetical.
Can I repeat that? Reg moved his parents into a nicer house. Juice removed 2 people from the planet.
Hypothetical.
So this is not about Juice. And there never will be another Juice Miss ever again. You had your Juice Miss. You had your one day. V, I don't need you calling up and trying to sing. Not about the 12 days of Juice Miss. Don't do that ever again.
On the 12 days of Juice Miss, my true glove gave to me 12 dumbass jurors, 11 dancing Eidos, 10 counts in Vegas, 9 inch blades, 8 Bill Walsh's, 7 Chloe's OJ's kid, 6 Bronco blessings, 5 syllables for Pedro Guerrero, 4 O's, 3 bloody steps, 2 severed heads, and a prostate that gave OJ's a disease that he couldn't beat.
You know how good that is? I'm not sure what my favorite day of the 12 days of Juicemas is, as interpreted by V.
No, Walsh.
Maybe that one. Is that yours, Alvy? Anyway, V, don't do that. Save your voice for Friday, dude. You know, a day after your Lakers' next loss, my guy. You'll need your voice for that day. Today is about Trojan non-juice fam. Very good day for them and a great day for Reggie Bush and Justice. Should have never lost it. Glad he got it back. Wapner is in. Hey, Jim, I'm pretty sure the penalty on Reggie Bush is for life. For life. For life. Signed, Commissioners. Commission ears. It's good, but it's not for life. Couple of decades, but not for life. So commission ears did not bring that down. It was the Heisman Trust that brought that down. Commission ears means a life ban is a life ban. Commission ears is not bringing back Donald Sterling. Commission ears is not going to bring back Jonte. When commission ears says life, he means life. Normally a lifetime ban is anything but. Like you can get out on good behavior. Not with commission ears as judge, jury, and executioner. When that guy says life, he means life. Life without the possibility of parole. Life without the possibility of getting out on good behavior. Life. 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 At NJ Alberts. Reggie getting his trophy back means the next guy to get his is Pete Rose. You know, I've heard the argument. I've heard the argument that because gambling is legalized now, Pete Rose should be reinstated. I understand that, except for one thing. Gambling is legalized in many, many states in this country, not every state, not even Cali. But while gambling has been legalized in many states, it has not been legalized in baseball. And he bet on baseball. That's the difference. And this goes back to one more thing. Hey, Rome. That Penix guy is like Billy Joel playing quarterback. He'll get run in the middle of Piano Man, a play on the field, and I wouldn't trust him to drive in a Long Island neighborhood without crashing into somebody's living room. Signed, anonymous NFL scouts, Will and Richmond. This just goes back to some anonymous GM saying, oh, I don't trust Caleb Williams. He's like Prince. What kind of an insult is that supposed to be? He's like Prince? Prince is like one of the most well-respected artists ever. One of the most unique artists ever. The artist artist. Not only did he have an all-time great halftime show, he was the rare guy that actually outshined the game itself. That's how good he was. And yet you've got some NFL GM thinking they're real clever, like, hey man, I don't want anything to do with this guy. He's like Prince. He's like Prince. Hey man, I don't want anything to do with this guy. He's like Jimi Hendrix. Nice crackback. Prince. Dude, you hope he's like Prince. Have you already forgotten Prince is a hooper? Taken off from the free throw line? Throwing it down at 5'2", crossing fools over. Like in these crazy boots. What are you talking about? He's like Prince. Sign me up for that. I'd run even faster to flip the card over. Man, stupid season is so moronic. It's never been more stupid than it is right now. Like, right before the draft. Let's kill the guy. Let's kill him and compare him to Prince. All right, short timeout. And a sack of potatoes.
Yeah.
So we're talking about generational talent, right? At least comparing him to a sack of potatoes actually is a dig or a diss. Comparing him to Prince shows not how out of touch the player is, but how out of touch the anonymous GM is. Yo, man. Yo, man. If you want Prince, what a great talent evaluator. You want to talk about a guy who's not a judge of talent, a GM comparing a player to Prince. Like, that's a bad thing. You don't want your quarterback to have like crazy it, crazy charisma, crazy talent, crazy ability, a transcendent amount of talent. You don't want that in your quarterback. Good diss. You know what? You know what? If I said something that stupid, I wouldn't put my name to it either. Like, I hate all these anonymous quotes. I know that these losers would never say these things if they had to put their names to it. But it's so cowardly. But that's cowardly and that's stupid.
Cowards.
Again, if I were to ever say something that stupid, I would never put my name to it. I'd say it was Alvin DeLauro. Hey, can I put your name to it? Yeah, as long as you put down Alvin DeLauro.
Dude.
Come on with that. All right, so when we come back, I've got my NBA whip. I want to talk about what happened last night. And Jera is doing Jera things once again. Hey, listen, I can go on and on and on and on and never stop. But I would love for a phone call to break through and add something to this discussion. 1-800-636-8686. You know what's important? Feeling good. Feeling good affects pretty much everything in your life. And you'll get a true experience of your life if you feel good. But if you feel badly, that's your experience. So let's go back to the other. You want to feel good. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. It's 100% drug-free. And Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. So we're talking about any kind of pain, right? Neck pain, back pain, joint pain, muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. It doesn't just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. In 3 weeks or less, you'll know if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. I know. I use it. I do feel the difference. I'll give you an example. Ask Justin Fields. I'm a big cardio guy, and as I get older, I've got it in my head. I've got to push harder and harder and harder and harder. I go as hard as I can, you know, relative to me. I'm not going to lie. I get stiff, feel a little bit of pain, a little achy. Relief Factor works for me. I feel the difference. It helps me with those things. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your very first order. 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
So what I want to do this segment is I want to give you a couple of bits of reaction from you, written reaction, and a guaranteed phone call or two. So what that means to you is if you're listening right now and you're on hold, don't hang up. There's a very good chance that you're going to be that phone call. Do not hang up. So written reaction, call reaction, and more. I mentioned this a few moments ago. I want to reiterate the importance of feeling good and how it affects everything. I'm talking to you again about my new friends from Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement. It helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. How many of you listening right now have minor pain? I'm guessing a lot. I'm guessing the majority. 100% drug-free. Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Do you have neck pain, back pain, joint pain, muscle pain? Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce, even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. I think that's really important. Helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Good thing, too. In 3 weeks or less, you will know if it's working because you will feel the difference all day, every day. I have minor pain. I feel the difference. I use Relief Factor. I've been taking it every single day since I met my friends there, and I do feel a difference. I feel a difference in the way I bounce back, the way I recover. I just feel better. Over 1 million people have tried Relief Factor. Give it a try for yourself. Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF. These products and these statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. All right, so some quick reaction, then some phone calls. Kevin Foytar writes, Caleb is good, but the Bears should trade down one spot, four picks, and Daniels if they can. Caleb averaged 172 passing yards per game with six TDs and six INTs against top 25 defenses, and he's 6-8 against ranked opponents. Doesn't help Miller Moss lit up the Holiday Bowl also when he sat. All right, now, I don't agree with that. But that's an actual, real take based on football and not nail polish or color of a phone. And the dude put his name to it. That's legit. How is it that all these guys that are in the NFL, scouts, coaches, GMs, are taking all these other crazy runs at him that have nothing to do with football? Yet, at Fully Ohio can come in here with a legitimate football take and say, no, I wouldn't do that. Here's why I wouldn't take him. As opposed to, he's like Prince. Scares the bleep out of me, man. You see him crying with his family? Scares the bleep out of me. You see his fingernail polish? Scares the bleep out of me. You see the color of his phone? Scares the bleep out of me. No. This guy's saying, no, move back a spot. Get some draft capital. He's not generational. Have you seen how he's done against good competition? I don't agree with that. I think he is generational, personally. But that's a good, solid take. You know, the kind of guy you had to watch, the kind of guy you should watch before you start slandering him completely. If you watched USC or even Oklahoma, you would not have questions about this guy's competitiveness. All right, so that right there is a good take. That's followed by a horrible take. Mike D for three. Quote, Prince is possibly the most overrated musician ever. So that could be a pretty accurate comparison. See that right there, Mike? That's not just a bad take. That's one of the worst takes. If Prince is, quote, possibly the most overrated musician ever, then what you just said is possibly the worst take ever. There's nobody who knows anything about music. There's nobody who has ever picked up a single instrument of any kind that would ever say that about Prince. I mean, you would think that there'd be a musician somewhere, anywhere, some hack, somebody playing at a coffee bar somewhere. I don't know, Neems. No, just kidding, Neems. Dino in Vegas. You think one person would agree with that? Some loser, I don't know, Dino in Vegas.
Yeah, wait.
This guy. Nobody thinks that. Even if Prince isn't, like, your cup of tea or you don't like that music, if you know anything about music, you know how moronic that take is. Quote, the most overrated musician ever? That's the dumbest take ever. There is no controversy here, all right? There's no controversy here. Your take is the dumbest take I've heard in quite some time. There is no controversy here. This guy writes, Dear Anonymous GM, Prince is the only dude who can wear a blouse, hoop earrings, and high heels and still steal your wife. Paul S., right? Not only that, I'd argue he's, quote, the only dude that can wear a blouse, hoop earrings, and high heels and still run you right out of the gym. This dude could ball now. Legend has it, he was a legendary hooper. All right, let's go to the phones. We go to Phoenix. Lewis Hey, Lewis, I appreciate you being patient. What's going on? How are you?
Jim, thanks for taking the call. And let me just give the beefers, which that segment needs no help, but some fodder for Thursday by saying I'm a second-time caller, but first since 1994 or 5, whatever that time was in advance of the Phoenix tour stop. So good memories there. I just think it's time to add the Suns to the list of these failed super team experiments. And, you know, it obviously started with the trade for KD. By the way, trade deadline day trade for KD, which not only was the trade deadline, it was our new owner's first day owning the team. I think it happened officially in that morning. He then comes in and sort of muscles through this trade for KD, gives up Cam Johnson, Mikal Bridges, two of the favorite sort of homegrown players that were part of that real connected unit that, you know, had just played in the finals 2 years before, had the horrific Game 7 loss at home to Dallas after sort of, you know, leading that series and just a total meltdown in that Game 7. So it hasn't worked. I mean, we were patient last year. KD was sort of hurt when he first came over. We lost to a great Denver team. They go out and get Bradley Beal, another trade, bring in sort of another shooting guard. You know, we already have Devin Booker. We don't address the point guard need. They move on from DeAndre Ayton for, you know, Nurkic, basically, which is fine. There were definitely issues with Ayton and him having him help us get over the hump. But I think my real issue here is, so our owner's all in, Jera. This is a real all-in owner. This is a guy that had no problem getting rid of Monty Williams, you know, who was just the coach of the NBA coach of the year before, paid him off, brought in Vogel, who I like, you know, in a sort of Rick Carlisle way. I think he's an older school.
I'm not running you for anything that you said. But if I don't run you, you won't stop saying it. You would have taken me right to the top of the hour without any problem whatsoever. I mean, you were just settling in, brother.
Brother.
Respect. But if I didn't run you, this might have become the Lewis in Phoenix show, starring Lewis in Phoenix, with bottom-of-the-hour sports updates from Jim Rome. No, I feel you, dude. You're right. You're right about all those things. And if I had to wait for you to be wrong about something, you'd still be going. Listen, I don't fault an owner for being ultra-aggressive, taking gigantic swings, pushing their collateral to the center of the table, and doing whatever they can to win. I've made this point a million times on this show. Believe it or not, not every professional owner of a franchise wants to win. Some of them just want to make money. A lot of them don't want to win because it's too expensive
to
win.
Let's make some money!
They want to make money. They are in it for vanity. So when an owner comes in and they're ultra aggressive and they are willing to spend money and they're willing to take big swings and they've made it clear that actually the main thing is winning the thing, the entire thing. I respect that. Having said that, what they've done has not worked. What they've done has not worked. And trying to build or buy a super team often does not work. Does this look like a super team to you? Kevin Durant was going to move them that much closer or put them over the top. And certainly Bradley Beal was going to make them the super team that took down the West, that took down the Nuggets. The hell it was. You know, and there was that fair question. He mentioned, well, you bring in Bradley Beal. I thought you had Book already. Why do you need both these guys? How is that going to work? It doesn't. And what about Monty? What did Monty do to get fired? Wasn't Monty Williams a damn good coach? Wasn't he one of the most respected coaches? And look where he ended up. Yeah, it doesn't work. There's nothing about that. Hey, remember when they brought in Bradley Beal and that was going to put them over the top and that was going to lead them and make them a better team than the Nuggets and become the so-called super team? Yeah, I don't remember that either. Not watching them. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that I took them in the points last night. Well, maybe a little. No, it doesn't, actually. They don't scare anybody. They're not who we thought they were, so we're not going to crown their ass and go ahead and let them off the hook because they're not scaring anybody.
Crown their ass.
don't crown their ass. Yeah, and a point guard would help. Steve Nash ain't walking through that door. Hell, they might take Steve Nash at this point. No, I mean Steve Nash today. Not in his prime. I mean Steve Nash right now at age, whatever he is. It might be better than what they have. I don't know. Point guards are still pretty important. All right, when we come back, notice we still have not done an interview, and we will at the top of the hour. So this is the time you want to call. I've also got thoughts on the Cowboys. Jera, man. Jera is slipping. Either he's slipping and getting more and more out of it, or he's raising his troll game. I can't really tell. And that's not a good thing that I don't know. But he's just saying crazy bleep. Is he trolling us, or is he losing it? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, top of the hour. My namesake, Rome Odunze, 1120. This just in, it is that time of year. The head coach of the Ohio State, Ryan Day, is tomorrow. It's a good thing. We can generally run him down once a year, right around this time. I like it. That's because there's usually like 30 players from Ohio State going into the draft. Ryan Day tomorrow.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Clones, not all beef jerky is the same. Old Trapper's original old-fashioned teriyaki, hot and spicy and peppered, all come in 4-ounce bags. So you can sample different flavors and find the best one for you. Ask for Old Trapper by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef? All right. What a crazy random thread this is. So we just lift this one quote from some anonymous moron saying, I'm not taking Caleb Williams. He's like Prince. And I'm like, is that supposed to be some sort of diss, anonymous GM? If so, it's the worst diss ever. So now we're into this thing. At Avix Randall writes, F that Prince-hating clown. Even metalheads have respect for the purple one. And in and of itself, that's no small accomplishment. Keep Prince's name out your mouth. War Reggie Bush getting back what's his. Ian writes, Jim, what's so great about Prince? So he set some stupid, overrated records, and he was never good. I would pay $1 million to spray Prince in the face with a full mace can. Yours, that tool bag who just said he was overrated.
Pay $1 million just so I can spray that guy in the face with a full mace spray.
Ian and the Natty. Hey, Snags, great job with the Prince takes. First time, get my step on while listening to your show. War controversy. Gordon in Citrus Heights. When he brought Bell out. You don't block anyone on X, but that horrible take about Prince being overrated deserves to be your first. Prince is an effing legend.
They're all buttholes out there. They really
the D
are.
The D in Mike D obviously stands for dweeb. He brought out at PHX underscore Nola girl.
Yeah, dweeb.
Jim Rome talking about Prince. This hour brings me joy. Hashtag Prince. Now, not everybody agrees. Check this guy. First time, long time. That guy was right about Prince. In October of 1981, at the LA Coliseum, I was part of the crowd that booed his ass off the stage. He's got that in all caps. Ass off the stage at the Rolling Stones concert. Crying, laughing emoji. He deserved it, too. Kendall, Jay Pettit. Did he? Okay, that's interesting. I'll be honest, I didn't know that. So I had Tommy do a little bit of research, a little bit of a dive. What was Prince doing on the stage of a Rolling Stones concert? That's interesting.
This
at
is
the
wild.
LA Coliseum.
This is wild.
In a stadium.
90,000 people. October 1981, 90,000 people.
Look at it. What did you find when you looked it up?
Mick Jagger himself personally invited Prince to open up for the Stones for this high-profile string of shows. I think there were 4 dates.
Can we stop right there? Didn't I say moments ago that anybody who knows anything about music would never utter anything that idiotic? Mick Jagger in his prime, Mick Jagger personally invited Prince to open for arguably the greatest rock band ever. But he's the most overrated performer ever. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
As this article goes, portions of the crowd were already on Prince's back before it even begun playing, as his gender-defying outfit made up of a see-through jacket, thigh-high boots, and black bikini briefs. It was safe to say that the purple one was already unfairly angered a chunk of regressive thinkers in the crowd. Prince ended
He didn't even play. They already were booing him off the stage before he played. Because he sucked, not because he was wasted and couldn't perform, but because of what he was wearing and how he looked.
He even tried to please the crowd by playing more rock-style material, but they still booed him off the stage. 94,000 people booed him off the stage.
Kind of like saying that Caleb Williams scares the bleep out of me because he has fingernail polish, because of the color of his phone. Okay. But anyway, Caleb Williams aside, that tells you how asinine that statement is, that Prince was the most overrated performer ever, that Mick Jagger handpicked him to open up for arguably the greatest band ever. Oh, okay. Yeah, because Mick's opinion doesn't matter. All right, Kendall J. Pettit. So you were there, and you're bragging on, I was one of the ones who booed Prince off the stage. Really? Because the band that you wanted to see invited him there to open. Do you really think? And they were horrified. They invite this guy personally. Now, maybe it wasn't the greatest idea ever in retrospect, because we're talking about 1981, and we're talking about a guy that's nothing like the audience that's going to see that. But it was out of respect. I mean, clearly, this amazing band respected this other amazing musician. I think I remember, you know, I'm a big Bruce Springsteen guy. I'm a big punk rock guy, alternative rock, but I love Bruce. And I remember reading a book about Bruce, and I don't remember what it was, but I think somehow, some way, I have no idea how this happened, but I think the organizers of an Anne Murray concert invited Bruce to open for her or something crazy like that. And I remember the folks that were involved were like, dude, that's a bad idea. Don't do that. Do not bring a young, out of his mind, hungry Bruce Springsteen who plays 5-hour gigs and let him open for Anne Murray, man. Because all of Bruce's people will show up and boo her ass right off the stage, which is exactly what happened. Some of these bands don't mix, right? Hey, Tom, you're a big concert guy. You ever see that?
Yeah, I've seen it happen too, actually. Paul McCartney invited Morrissey to open for him at a festival. Festival that was in Dover, Delaware. Firefly, it's called. And he completely tanked. He got into his political part of his show, and he just got booed off the stage, and he did leave the stage.
I love Morrissey. I mean, pretty depressing, but I love Morrissey.
That's my one experience with him.
Yeah, Smiths are one of my favorite bands ever. The Smiths are an amazing band.
I love them too.
Do you?
I love them. I was so looking forward to that set. I couldn't believe what was happening. My fiance has an amazing picture of me just looking horrified as he's getting booed off the stage. The band is tipping their instruments and storming off the stage.
You want sacrilegious? I'd go see Morrissey before McCartney.
Wow.
Sorry about that. Not sorry. But, you know, I'm not a big Beatles guy. Anyway, some of these things just don't mix, right? Prince and the Stones. You didn't boo him off the stage because he's the most overrated musician ever. It's the different crowd. It's a crowd that's not going to appreciate it. Just like a McCartney crowd is not going to appreciate Morrissey getting up there and doing Morrissey-type things. Like, if Morrissey's going to get up there and show animals getting mutilated, I respect his point of view, but I can see where somebody might not. We're just here for Hey Jude. All right, telephone number is 1-800. I don't know how we got. Actually, I know exactly how we got this far off the beaten path. Because one idiotic anonymous GM convinced compared Caleb Williams to Prince and thought that was some kind of crazy diss. Hey, and I'm not even like this crazy, crazy Prince enthusiast, but I so respect the guy's immense talent. How could you not? You'd have to be really out of touch or really dumb. And a really, really, really dumb take is to say most overrated musician ever. That's just not true. Really, Rome, who is? Well, see, I don't even want to make a statement like that out of the side of my mouth or out of my backside without thinking about it for a minute. Amber's in. Romy, my mom, had tickets to the Rolling Stones show but couldn't go because she went into labor with me. I have the ticket in my baby book.
War Lady Clone.
James Kelly's trying to say Nickelback is the most overrated band ever. No, they're the worst band ever. Nobody thinks they're any good, Head, except for Tiger. You can't be overrated unless a bunch of people think you're good. And Eldrick's the only one out.
Dumbass.